German author Peter Schneider wrote his novel Mauerspringer, Walljumper, in 1982. The story reflected his skepticism of the expectations of a unified Germany.
It will take us longer to tear down the wall in our heads than any wrecking company will need for the wall we can see.
This is a key sentence in Peter Schneider's work, read by scholar Paul Faber. Faber researched American cultural history of the Berlin Wall and curated an exhibition at the Goethe Institute entitled The Wall in Our Heads. 25 years after the fall, the Berlin Wall is still a symbol of cultural reference and political imagination for Americans.
Even in those early days in August 1961, there are Americans trying to make sense of American presence and geopolitics of the Cold War. And it's an ambivalence that has produced great work and much critical thought about what's at stake with democracy.
And what was at stake with American values? Paul Faber especially recalls one picture by American photographer Leonard Fried at this exhibition. It shows the dialectic symbol of the Berlin Wall during a time when Americans struggled with race segregation in their own country.
When I saw Leonard Fried's photograph of an African-American soldier standing guard in August of 1961 at the New Berlin Wall, which Fried said was the contradiction of American culture, that this soldier was guarding American freedom abroad but denied full rights at home.
For many U.S. activist writers and thinkers, the divided city served as a mirror for their society in the U.S.
Civil rights activists in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Selma, Alabama, used the language of the Berlin Wall to talk about actual physical boundaries in their communities on the elusive but violently policed color line or fences or barricades. And they also referred to it symbolically, tear down the Berlin Wall of hate.
With photographs by Nan Golden, wall graffitis by Keith Haring, and contributions by other artists, the exhibition is more than a historical recap, but also a creative reflection of Berlin. Apart from being a city full of political tension, Berlin was literally a safe haven for artists and adventurists.
I arrived in Berlin in 1983. I had taken the advice from my good rebel friend Tom to chuck convention and live life and flee impending yuppie culture. And once I got there, we did absolutely nothing. Our main job was to hang out and just be and take part in the fun and maybe start some on our own.
Bill von Paris was one of the artists who had lived life to the fullest in Berlin's subversive and wild underground scene. Even though many artists would not consider themselves as politically active at that time, they could not flee the influence the wall had on their lives.
It shaped the entire political environment of the city, and that in turn impacted the culture, impacted the art, impacted the music. And you know that there are nuclear missiles all along the west and probably in the east. You just sensed, you know, it could all go up in the mushroom cloud any minute, but the fun part was you'd get to be among the first to go.
When Bill visited East Berlin, he and his friends would smuggle Nina Hagen cassettes and art supplies to help East Berlin artists with their work.
You go to the East and you see that the East Germans lost the war twice. It was like stepping back in time, you know, back to the 50s of sorts. You know, it was sad for the artist and for, you know, people in creative fields and the like who, you know, you realize their talent and their intellect, but yet, and you like to think it could have been so much more had they been given the tools.
And then, finally, the wall came down. Leonard Bernstein and an international cast of musicians and vocalists united on Christmas Day 1989 for the Berlin Celebration Concert in the former eastern part of the city. A great gesture and a moving performance that was broadcast internationally.
The wall is down, and the city is euphoric. And never was a musical work more suitable than the one we shall hear now, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. For this performance, Leonard Bernstein feels authorized by the power of the moment, as he puts it, to make a significant change in the poem. Instead of the word Freude, joy, the choir will each time sing Freiheit, freedom. And so this becomes, in word as well as deed, the Berlin Freedom Concert.
I wonder sometimes if it wasn't really about Germany at that moment, but it was more about America's kind of, you know, triumph to a certain extent.
This is Stephanie Sichukow, an American artist that approached the history of Berlin from a post-war perspective. Stephanie is more interested in the economic hangover of Berlin and the promise of wealth and prosperity in a free capitalistic world.
That was the promise. You know, once the system was going to change, everything was going to be better. And that's a vast overstatement, of course. It's what we're seeing now is the more complicated reality.
Just like in Peter Schneider's Wall Jumper, Stephanie questions the euphoric moment of the fall of the Berlin Wall and reminds visitors with her project for the exhibition that there is more to unification and freedom than tearing down a wall, and that the wall in Berlin still stands for many boundaries in our heads. For NPR Berlin, I'm Vera Hommel.